Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have an exciting program for our listeners. We do that just about every week.
We do it.
Yes, we do.
Happy to be here.
We talk a lot about a lot of different subjects, and we try to talk about things that make people think. And you're pretty good at that. In fact, I'll let you start today. What do you have in mind? Anything unique that you want our listeners to think about?
Well, the first question that I saw on the page today leads me to what I want to tell you.
All right.
Okay. Is it possible to feel the presence of God? Okay. Music does that. Wow. I can remember going to the Holy Land. My first trip to the Holy Land, we decided that we would take some people with us, like everybody was doing, and we had 120 people that came and went with us to the Holy Land. On every spot that we stopped along the way, people wanted us to sing. So we'd have a little, at least one song. And the places that we sang were so precious. And the people were weeping with the songs and the place, like at the Garden Tomb. And we had a concert out on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, that was like a hour's moment of music. You can't get in a boat and sit on the Sea of Galilee and get a groove up to sing some of the most precious songs that I've ever sung in the right place.
Yeah.
Well, I can remember one day people began to say, "Hey, Dave, when we get near the day when we're going to go to be around Calvary, you're going to sing songs about Jesus dying on the cross. It's going to be a very precious day, so we want to know if you can get us up on Golgotha's Hill, right on the very spot, not down by the bus station where there's traffic and noise. And I mean, it's the place of the skull in Israel is right in the middle of town, but up out of town rises this big tomb, the big hill. And on top of it, they have a cemetery. Big guards and big fence, and nobody's allowed up there, man. And here these people come to me and said, "Dave, we paid all this money to come here. Thousands of dollars are here. And we would like to leave Israel and climb up on that mountain where the skull is and sing right at the very spot where Jesus died." And I said, that'd be great, but you know, it's against the law. You could be put in prison. And it's all locked up and tight, and you know, it's come on. You're paying the money. You get your money's worth without going up there. And there was a little old man listening to that conversation, sitting over here somewhere. He got up and got in his Mercedes and pulled away. But he came back at supper time, and he came to talk to me, and he said, "You know, I heard you people talking about wanting to go up on Golgotha." And he said, I can get you there. He said, "There's a couple stipulations, but if you're willing to do it, okay. He said, how many people you got? I said, 120. He said, okay. He said, we're going to have to get taxi cabs. And it's going to have to be in the middle of the night. We got to go up there at 3 o'clock in the morning when town is dead. Not one soul is up. The bus station down below has nothing going on. He said, I can get you up there. I got the key. I can get the key to the gate. He said, we'll get you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody will have to pay a little fee, and we'll drive you over to the gate, and we will climb. And he said, it's a bad climb. It's rocks, and it's steep, and you have to get down sometimes on your hands and knees just to get over this one. It's not right. It's difficult. But I heard your people were talking really big to you about going up there. He said, if you're willing to have a meeting with your gang, you have to go at 3 in the morning when nobody's around, no officials, and you have to pay a fee, and you have to ride in the cab quietly across town to get to it at 3 in the morning. And then when the sun begins to come up, you cannot be seen. You have to be out of there, gone. And if you have to get out quickly, you're going to kill yourself trying to get up and down with all those rocks and thorns and bushes and shrubbery and junk. And he said, some of your people are in their 80s. You have some old ladies. What are you going to do about them? I said, well, we've probably got enough men to carry them. We'll carry them up. And I went, I said, okay, let me see how many people want to go. Maybe there'd be only a car full. So we had, after supper, I got all the people. I said, if you want to go to the top of Golgotha, right where the spot where the cross was, we have to do it at 3 in the morning. And you have to pay a small fee, you know, 10 or 15 bucks. Everybody said, yay, 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 let's do it, let's do it. So at 3 o'clock, at 2:30, my alarm went off in my room, and I got dressed, and I said to Judy, my wife, I said, sweetheart, there's going to be two or three people down in the lobby. Don't worry about it. If you don't want to go, I'm going. And so we get all dressed up. Judy and I go down to the lobby, and there's 120 people. Nobody was going to miss that. Yeah. And we climbed in all those cabs. We drove down to the gate, and the guy got out in his Mercedes, and he opened the gate, and we all started in up to the top. And we were carrying ladies, and we were falling all over ourselves, and we were getting – it took us a long time to get to the top. When we got up there, we got in a circle, and that's when we began to see the preciousness of a song. And we began to sing, and, you know, people were taking their shoes off.
Wow.
It's holy ground.
Yeah.
And we gave some of them a chance to testify. And they were saying how much they appreciated the opportunity of standing without their shoes on and singing a precious song about Calvary and the cross.
Wow.
You know, we got so captured that we didn't see the sun come up. And finally we hear this is about 5:30, 6 o'clock. We could stay there all day. It was that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
He came running and he was screaming at us. He says, you got to get out of here. If one person sees you, you're going to be all in jail. You'll be paying a big fine. You got to get out of here in the next 5 minutes down that hill and into those cabs. And boy, we carried those ladies back down the hill, and he frightened us because he said, you know, it's light now. They can see up here. And if you don't get out of here, you're going to be in trouble. Well, we ran down there, and we just jumped in those cabs. We got back to the hotel and got in the lobby and just had a two-hour session of screaming, yelling, holler at each other what we did. You know, that was major, major in that trip.
Sure would have been.
We went to the Holy Land. That was our first time. We went to the Holy Land 8 times, and every time all the people demanded that we go back up on that hill. And I said, I don't care if you shoot me, I'm not going up there with you or anybody. And we went 7 other times, and we never went up. We climbed from across the street where the bus station was.
Never did it again.
But I treasure that day.
Oh, yeah,
that
you actually
that's
did
a moment. I've asked everybody that I've ever seen one in the Holy Land, did you go to the Golgotha's Hill? No, yeah. No. Not one soul have I ever heard ever went up there.
Yeah.
But that 120 that went with the couriers.
Yep, you did it.
And that you know, that's a moment you don't ever forget in
you
your life.
You will never forget that. No, that's a fascinating story. I'm glad you shared that.
Well, I'm thinking of I hope you're ready to talk, because I quit.
These are inspirational messages you have for us, and I deeply appreciate that, because and our listeners do as well, because we're talking about worship and praise and the power of singing. And what it means to us as individuals and us collectively as Christians.
And feeling the presence of God.
And feeling the presence of God. That's exactly
oh,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
So those kinds of witnesses that you're sharing are time well spent. And the airwaves are pure because of your willingness to take the effort to share some very meaningful times that you've had in your life. You as a pastor, you as a singer. And you as a family man, a husband and father to those 3 lovely children, it's truly an inspiration that nobody else can match. You are a very unique person, Dave, and I thank you for sharing. But let's take a look at some of the other issues as we're talking about the praise and ministry. What are the ministers of God placed on this earth to do? What are they to do? If you want to be a minister, what is your task at hand? Well, what does the Bible say? Matthew 10 has a little write-up. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. Matthew chapter 10. Here is probably one of my favorites as I was studying these issues and trying to uncover scripture. Mark 16 has a very nice couple of verses here, verses 15 to 18. Let me read them for you, if I may. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And those signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that's powerful scripture. That's come out of Mark chapter 16. So there's a lot of things that we are to minister to when we're here on this good old earth. You're talking about, drinking of deadly diseases or eating poisonous food, laying your hands and praying for one another is going to make things powerful again. I think that's just good scripture.
Yep. I just didn't want to interrupt you for a moment.
Go ahead.
I can. I have never seen it, but I've known it. Like there's churches in America that have snakes in their service.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
You've heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of it. Yes.
Well, they're still in West Virginia, I guess. There are still some churches, and there where the people have to prove their faith
by handling poisonous snakes.
Right.
It still goes on in West Virginia. Huh?
Yes.
I thought that was illegal.
The people are being bitten and lose their jobs and lose their house, and they're the poorest church in the world.
But they still do it.
I can't say that for sure.
Okay.
But I
yeah.
My sources are saying yes.
How about that? That's something.
So,
yeah.
But I didn't even.
Yeah.
You know, when I come here, my mind opens up a million miles.
Yes. Well, that's great. That's the whole idea behind two guys speaking from the heart.
I have And you just mentioned one word, and all of a sudden, a whole
30-minute
story opens up.
Well, that's
great. Talk about that. But if you ever go to a church where there's going to be snakes, I want to go with you.
Okay. I don't know. I know that used to be common.
You didn't say
place,
yes. You didn't say
South.
Yes yet.
Well, I don't think it's legal anymore. if it is someplace where they're still doing it, maybe some of our listeners might call us and tell us about, hey, you guys can go here. You say you think of West Virginia, they still do it, huh?
Yeah, in West Virginia.
All right. Well, let's show a little courage and see if we can find that church in West Virginia and go visit them.
Let's give Carla that job.
Yeah, she can go with us.
Well,
we'll just be the witnesses and let her handle the snakes.
Are you willing to go, Carla? She's not willing to go. She has no faith.
Our engineer is shaking her head no.
No faith. No faith.
I shall be like Jesus. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Not going to be tempted.
Okay.
Well, let's see what Jesus says about that. Jesus says unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9. See what he's saying there? Luke is telling us we are all to preach. Go preach. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. All of us are to be preachers. That's part of our command. Mm-hmm. I think that's fascinating. Ye shall not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John chapter 15. So these are powerful things. What are the ministers of God on earth to do? That's all of us. We are all to preach and share the good news. And I think that's powerful scripture. So right. Some of these tough questions can be answered if we just open up the Bible to try to find out where they are.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead. Sock it to me.
You got an answer?
Well, I'll give it a try.
What does God's voice sound like?
Ooh. You know, I know that answer.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Is he a bass singer?
No. But I know the answer. The answer is all of nature's sounds. It's the ocean. It's the wind. Oh. It's the musical instruments. It's earthquakes. It's fire. It's ice breaking. The voice of Jesus, the voice of God, what we have, all natural sounds plus musical instruments. That's powerful.
I like that answer. That is a good answer.
I think so. Yeah.
I went the bass singer route, but you went the real route.
Well, that's based on scripture. I don't make it sound like I'm really intelligent and I made it all up. No, I remember reading that in the Bible, in Revelations. I think right off the bat in the first chapter, where you can read things like that. The voice of the Lord is upon the water. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. That's out of Psalms 29. It kind of relates to your question. It's not exactly the answer that I gave, but it's close. I mean, you're talking about the waters and the thunder. I didn't say thunder, but that's what the Bible's talking about. So it does mean those kind of things.
There's a whole bunch of questions that just jump out at us.
You start dissecting them.
Let me give you four or five questions in a row that you can answer them all as you see.
All right. Go ahead. Give me another go, but see how good I am.
What does God look like?
What does he look like?
What color is he? What race is he?
Hey.
Is he a male or a female? Does he ever sleep? Is God married? Whoa! I throw them all out at you.
You know why I know those answers? Because we talked about some of those issues last week's programs. The scripture is still fresh in my mind.
Okay.
Well, what does God look like? I think that was your first question. I have an answer to that. In fact, it's written right in Genesis, right off the bat. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. So God and us are very much alike. For in the image of God, made he man. Genesis chapter 9 says those kind of things. What does he look like? Whose garment was white as snow? And his hair on his head was like pure wool. That's out of Daniel chapter 9. So, you know, that's a fair question to ask. And what color is God? Well, that's an easy one to answer, too. In the Bible, we go once again, we go to the Bible for these answers. Let's see what it says in Acts. For as much then as we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone. It's graven by art or by any of man's devices. He is the God of the Jews only? Now, he is not also of the Gentiles. Is that not true? Well, yes, it is. Yes, of the Gentiles also. You find all those words in Romans. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that is upon him. It's out of Romans. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 28. You see why I was able to get that one so quick. We used that very same verse here. Okay. I don't know if it was last week or the week before last when we had that question come up. Is God male or female? Or will we be male and female in heaven? I believe that was a different kind of question, but it related to the same kind of answer. And the answer is no. There isn't any difference. We are all individuals. Remember we talked about that. Is there a moon and stars and the sun in heaven? And the answer is no. No, it's just always going to be luminous. Does God sleep? Does God sleep? What's the Bible say about that one? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalms 121.
Married. Is he married?
No. No. Nobody's married in heaven. Nobody.
No. So when we get there, you're through with married life.
That's right. That's right. Yep. We will no longer be married. We'll no longer even be male or female for that matter.
Okay.
Yeah. We will remember, but we will no longer be in that same light. How does the Bible describe the character and nature of God? What does the Bible say about the character and nature of God? Is that a good question to ask?
That's a great question.
I think so.
Well, how does God describe the character?
I found a piece, but you probably have some notes there too, but I found one out of Numbers chapter 23. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So that's a characteristic of God and his nature. He's not a man. It's different. The heaven declares his righteousness, and all of the people see his glory. That's out of Psalms 97. Great is our Lord, and great of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalms 147.
Let me add one more.
Sure, go right ahead.
We're talking about seeing God's glory.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion, I'm just a preacher, but I'm of the opinion that when you get saved, you arrive at Calvary with your salvation, and that's the only time you can see the glory of God.
Wow.
I mean, you can see it more, but that will be the first time that it will be.
Yes.
If you've never seen the glory of God, you probably never got saved. You probably never went to the altar and prayed the sinner's prayer on your knees and pulled yourself up to God and said, I want to talk to you, Lord, and show me your glory.
Yeah.
That's what changes people's lives when they go to the altar and they pray the sinner's prayer and they get up and their face is shining and they're they got a thrill of what's happened to them. They have seen the glory of God.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, you're listening to our broadcast today, have you ever seen the glory of God? And if you say yes, I'm going to ask you, are you a Christian?
Yes.
And did you ever go to the altar? Did you ever get saved? That's a big subject. I know we only have a minute or so left, but questions are good. And just if you're pondering things and you're moving in your car or your truck and you're listening today, and you'd be surprised where our conversation has gone.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
We've impacted people all over the highways, yes.
Yes, not what, just a here, what a day this has been.
Yes, it is. Well, Dave, we have exhausted our time. And, but it's been a pleasure speaking with you and going over some of these tough questions and seeing what the scriptures have to say. And we've answered a lot of questions, and our listeners are wiser now than they used to be. So it was a worthwhile day. I pray that all of our listeners have been inspired by your words. But for now, we must say goodbye until we see you the next time. Gift Briner saying so long for now.
Dave Clonan, it's been great to be here. See you next time. Bye-bye.